Soothing physical pain. Physical pain is an experience we all have to face. But the subjective reaction we have to it varies significantly from person to person. The sensation of pain, for example, can be considerably amplified by anticipating it and by an anxious urge to suppress it. At such a moment, the mildest of pains can become intolerable. Chronic pain can be made much more tolerable by changing our attitude towards it and imbuing it with some meaning. Studies in neuroscience have shown that the way we evaluate pain can be modulated by our anticipation of it and depends to a great extent on the way our mind deals with it. We have more tolerance for pains that have a predictable duration and intensity. Predictability helps us to be ready for them when they arise. Thus, we can manage them better than pains whose intensity is subject to increase and whose duration is unknown. If pain gets completely out of our control, and we think it might last indefinitely, then our mind might easily be completely overwhelmed by suffering. Another point is that giving pain a meaning helps us to bear it. We accept the painful secondary effects of a medical treatment we hope will cure us. We might also be willing to experience pain for the sake of helping another person. This is the case when a parent or friend gives blood or donates an organ to save the life of a dear one. The same goes for the pain, sometimes quite intense, that athletes endure in their training. They fully accept that pain because it results in improving their performance. Some athletes say that the more intense the pain is, the more they appreciate it as feedback on the intensity of their training. These same athletes report that they are much more negatively affected by unforeseen pain that has no value for them. For example, an injury that occurs in the course of their training. Giving pain a meaning gives us power over it and does away with the anxiety that comes with feelings of confusion and helplessness. By contrast, if we react with fear, resentment, discouragement, lack of understanding, or a feeling of helplessness, then instead of just experiencing one pain, we add several more to it. The most difficult cases are those of chronic, intense, and persistent pain that overpowers our other sensations. Such pain dominates the mind and our relation to the world. It accompanies our every thought and deed. I once heard a sick person say, "Intense chronic pain is like a stone thrown into a pond. Its waves spread throughout your life. There's no place to run from it." All the same, we can suffer intense pain without letting it destroy our positive vision of life. If we are able to attain a certain level of inner peace, it is easier to maintain our strength of mind or to regain it quickly, even when we are confronted by difficult circumstances. People who have lived through an accident, torture, or other kinds of intense pain have indicated that later on they felt more human than before. They felt a deeper appreciation of the world around them, of the beauty of nature, and of the good qualities of the people they met. They said they considered every moment of their lives a priceless treasure. So how can we manage our pain rather than being the victim of it? If you cannot escape it, it is better to make use of it than try to resist it. Whether you fall into the deepest of depression or maintain your strength of mind and your will to live, either way, the pain will be there. In the second case, you will be able to preserve your dignity and self-confidence, and that makes a big difference. Buddhism teaches different methods for achieving this. I will explain four of them. The first consists simply in mindfully observing the pain without interpreting it. The second makes use of mental imagery. The third allows us to transform the pain by awakening love and compassion. The last involves examining the nature of the suffering, and by extension, the nature of the suffering mind. Meditation 1. Mindfulness. As explained in the following texts, Observe with pure mindfulness the sensation of pain without interpreting, rejecting, or fearing it. Immerse yourself in the mindfulness of the present moment. Your sensation will then retain its intensity, but lose its repellent character. Sources of inspiration. Most of us regard pain as a threat to our physical well-being. On one hand, when we worry or allow ourselves to become preoccupied by this threat, the pain itself almost always increases. On the other hand, if we consider pain or discomfort as an object of meditation, we can use such sensations to increase our capacity for clarity. Yonge Mingyo Rinpoche. How does one work with pain as an object of meditation? A pure, unobstructed awareness of the pain will experience it simply as a flowing pattern of energy and nothing more. No thought and no rejection, just energy. But the human mind conceptualizes such occurrences as the pain. This is a concept. It is a label, something added to the sensation itself. You find yourself building a mental image. You will probably find yourself thinking something like, I have a pain in my leg. I is a concept. It is something extra added to the pain experience. When you introduce the I into the process, you are building a conceptual gap between the reality and the awareness that is viewing that reality. Thoughts such as me, my, or mine have no place in direct awareness. They are extraneous addenda, and insidious ones at that. When you bring me into the picture, you are identifying with the pain. That simply adds emphasis to it. If you leave the I out of the operation, pain is not painful. It is just a pure, surging energy flow. Bhante Henipola Gunaratna. Meditation 2. The Power of Mental Imagery. Visualize a soothing, warm, and luminous nectar penetrates the place where the pain is at its worst, dissolves it little by little, and finally transforms it into a sensation of well-being. This nectar fills your entire body, and the painful sensation fades away. If the pain increases in intensity, then increase the strength of the nectar accordingly, thinking that each atom of pain is now replaced by an atom of well-being. In this way, transmute the very essence of the pain into bliss. Meditation 3. The Force of Compassion. Arouse a powerful feeling of altruistic love and compassion towards all beings, and think, I wish so much to put an end to my suffering, but others beside me are tormented by pain comparable to my own, and sometimes even worse. How I wish that they too could be liberated from that pain. You may also imagine that you have deliberately volunteered to experience that pain, to spare someone, your child, for instance, from enduring it. Then your pain will no longer be experienced as something degrading or overwhelming. Filled now with altruism, you stop asking yourself bitterly, why me? But rejoice that someone else has been spared that suffering. When you are totally absorbed in yourself, you are vulnerable and an easy prey to confusion and feelings of distress, helplessness, and anxiety. If, instead of that, you feel a strong sense of empathy, combined with unconditional love towards the suffering of others, resignation will be replaced by courage, depression by love, and meanness by openness towards people around you. Meditation 4. Contemplating the nature of the mind itself. Contemplate the nature of pain. Even if it is sharp and penetrating, ask yourself, what color is it? What shape is it? What other unchangeable characteristics it might have? With this kind of inquiry, the characteristics of the pain get blurry the minute you try to focus on it. You will soon recognize that behind the pain there is a pure awareness, the very same one that is at the source of any other sensation or thought. Relax your mind and try to let the pain rest within this pure awareness, free from any mental construct. By taking this approach, you are no longer just the passive victim of the pain, and little by little, you will be able to face it and overcome the bruising negative effects it has on your mind. This last approach is certainly not easy, but experience shows that it is possible. I have known a number of meditators who have applied this method in the course of particularly painful terminal illnesses. They seemed remarkably calm and relatively little affected by the pain. Francisco Varela, a dear friend and well-known researcher in the cognitive sciences, who had practiced Buddhist meditation for years, told me a few weeks before his death from an extensively metastasized cancer that he was able to remain almost constantly within a pure state of awareness. Then his physical pain seemed remote and did not get in the way of his inner peace. He needed only weak doses of painkillers and was able to maintain his lucidity and serenity until his last breath.